Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Just watch me love myself. That's all I want. Got what I want. That's all I want. I'm not sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about reality dating shows like The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating.
Welcome to Love to See It, a podcast about scandals, babies, and a bachelor couple whose love we truly believe in.
We love love, and we love gossip, and we love to combine two of our favorite things into one beautiful episode.
Today, we'll be discussing some choice nuggets from Joey and Kelsey's post-finale press as an engaged couple, also Jen Tran's upcoming season of The Bachelorette, and we'll be rounding it out with some quick gossip tidbits from the past few months to catch up. I mean, we haven't done gossip since like January.
Yeah.
There's a
been
lot.
A while.
Yeah, there's a lot to catch up on.
It's been a while now that Joey's season is done. We actually have time. And speaking of the off season, next week we're going to be trying out a new off season format, more of a topical grab bag weekly show about gossip, reality dating shows, rom-coms, and other culture that's in the romantic zeitgeist. So we are very excited to try some new things in the off season, and we hope you'll enjoy them.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Should we dive in with Joey and Kelsey?
Let's dive in.
Yeah, let's start there.
Joey and Kelsey, two people who make me believe in love again.
I know.
Like, I have been so deeply charmed by their post-show interviews. It's disgusting.
I know.
I was like, great. I have a raging crush on Joey. Now I have a raging crush on both of them and, like, their entire dynamic.
It's so
is that
cute.
A thing you can have a crush on?
It is. Have you watched the show Couple to Throuple?
I haven't, but apparently I should.
I think it's about that. it's about polycules. I mean, yeah, it's embarrassing to admit as two women who actually are in relationships that this is what made us believe in love again. But there's just something about the optimism of puppy love. Like, we're the older people now, like, looking at the young people who are newly in love and being like, ah, young love, enjoy it, kids.
So nice.
So sweet. And so it's really fun to watch them, like, do their post-show rounds. Also because, you know, during the season, there always are other imperatives for the show in, like, shaping that story. And so they don't always show off the love story to the fullest extent because they don't want it to be so obvious who's going to win. They failed this season, but they tried. And they want maybe her to have, like, a different place in comparison with the other girls. So they might play up one side of her versus the whole dynamic of their relationship. This is something that plagued, like, Rachel Lindsay and Brian Abasolo for, like, years after the show, that they didn't feel like the show had shown the totality of their relationship. But then in the post-show press, you can, like, actually see their dynamic a little bit more unfiltered.
Exactly.
And they are so sweet together. I also just enjoyed getting some insights from them on the season in retrospect once we all know what happens. And always what happens is that they come out and they're like, yeah, no, I knew. I knew for a long time. All those times when I was like, I genuinely don't know what I'm going to do in the morning. I knew already at that time, and I'd known it for months.
They just have to say, I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's the thing that really destroys any, like, tension in watching the show is you're like, well, whoever it is, he already knows. That's how it always turns out.
But we did get some fun little behind-the-scenes tidbits on the season from their interviews. We learned that Kelsey was actually the last one out of the limos.
Yeah.
Which is not how we saw it presented. And that definitely means that production saw her being like a major contender.
Yeah, that is like a plum spot, first and last out of the limo. And we know that they can mess with that, but it is kind of annoying that we know how meaningful that is, but we don't actually get to see the actual order. So you can watch the show and you're like, oh, Leia's last. That's so significant. But of course, that's all done in editing. Joey actually says in one of his interviews that he felt like he already had so many women. I mean, there were 32 women who arrived night one. And then when Kelsey came out, he was like, oh, well, it was like worth going through such a long list of women. Because now we're really talking.
Joey.
And he says that he woke up the next morning thinking like he had a dream about her.
It doesn't surprise me because they did show from basically moment one, Joey saying like that he's kind of captivated by her vibe. Those weren't his exact words, but that was the impression that I think we all walked away from. Like, oh, he's really into her based off of almost nothing, which is definitely telling.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, it was, she did the little voodoo doll bit. And so, you know, they have some fun with like, oh, like you dreamed about her. It must have been the voodoo doll. But it's clear that she really struck him. And from very early on, she was the person who was like just lurking around his subconscious. He says in his interviews that he was so obvious and giving her so much extra attention on group dates that he was reprimanded by production. And that actually led to the group date when she began to spiral a bit. And that was because he was actually freezing her out on purpose.
And she's like, wow, this guy is ignoring me. And it's true. He was, because he was trying not to give away the entire show.
Yeah. Production was like, you're being so obvious. The other women who are not idiots are going to.
They know.
They know what's going on. And like, it's becoming very difficult to keep smoothing this over. Can you like work with us a little bit and make it seem plausible that maybe there's someone else you might be into? He's like, okay, got it. Completely ignore Kelsey for 6 hours. Understood. And he says that when she left that note for him, his reaction was, of course, because he knew he was going to like pick her, basically. He doesn't say this in so many words, but he was like, yeah, I genuinely didn't know what I was going to do if she left. Like, what's the point of all of this?
I mean, this is the Colton situation.
Exactly.
Different, obviously, but like,
yeah.
Yeah.
As we discussed at the time, like there seemed to be a little bit of Joey being like, why are you letting this happen to my number one relationship?
Right.
Like, I thought you were going to like protect this one. This is the one that can't leave for drama. And especially after, like, it seems like she had told him a fair amount about her conversation with Leslie. And that actually led to this situation because he slipped and told her off camera during Fantasy Suites that he couldn't wait for her to meet his family. And she was like, you can't say that to me. Like, I can't think ahead. Like, I don't want you to, like, make any sort of promises. I'm going to get my hopes up. So like, I don't even want to hear that. And so she wrote the note because she needed to go back and be like, actually, I do want to meet your family. Sorry about that. Had a little freak out, but I do want
to
meet your family.
I'm excited to meet your family.
Yeah.
So that makes more sense to me, and also makes more sense to me how they got her to agree to do something.
Yeah.
So
I think because they were trying to play it for tension and like a cliffhanger, they didn't want to show any context, because then when they have the conversation, it's like, why does she need to tell him that she wants to meet his family? Of
right, course. It makes no sense.
Like, there was
and
no.
Also, they had no context because it was from off camera.
Well, but
time.
They could have shown her in the moment, right? Being like,
true.
When I last saw Joey, I told him that I didn't want to think about meeting his family, and I really regret that. And they don't really do that. They don't really give us much insight as to why she feels the need to say this to him. And so it felt, I remember we were like, this is such a nothing burger. And it was, but it would have at least made sense why she was doing that if they had let us have a little bit of context. And I think they were so focused on having that like surprise of what she's going to say that they didn't want to do that. But Kelsey actually says that in some of the interviews that like she didn't even feel anxious during the season because Joey gave her so much reassurance and validation.
It was so obvious that he liked her.
Yeah, it's just funny. And I guess she felt that. I don't think I've ever heard a winner say that. Like, oh, I just didn't feel nervous because he was like so fixated on me.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's been true in the past. Like that.
Definitely. I was gonna say I actually wonder if on Nick's season Vanessa felt pretty confident, although we know that she had some freakouts. Yeah. Maybe Kelsey is also just a naturally not that anxious person.
Yeah.
And so if she got enough, it might be a personality thing.
It might be, yeah. She does seem like very different from me because a big thing I took away from this is that she doesn't get anxious as long as she gets a pretty reasonable amount of reassurance, even though she's in a context where she is dating her potential future husband along with like 25 other women. Also, she doesn't like sleep and she just loves waking up early and also going to bed late. And
yeah, I was like, wow, I have so much more in common with Joey than Kelsey.
But it makes sense
probably.
It's
probably why I like him so much.
I know. Well, like, and
I see
that's
myself
what
in him.
I chose to partner with someone who would want to sleep with me. Like, that sounds who would want to take, you know, sleep in, go to bed early, lounge on the couch. And when you have kids, I found myself being like, oh, man, I wish one of us were like a morning person or something because neither of us has
Kelsey
any
and
energy.
Joey have solved it.
Yeah, Kelsey's going to
take
have
the
care
perfect
of all
relationship.
Of it. Yeah. Something to consider when you're looking for a partner. But it makes sense why she thrived in the Bachelor setting, though, because you don't get much sleep. And if you're impervious to anxiety, that's also great.
Yeah, those are two really good qualities for being on a show like The Bachelor.
Regarding that note, though, I thought it was funny that both Bachelor Happy Hour and Vile Files, they give her like a chance. Like, what else would you have said in that note? Like, rewrite the note right now. What would it say? And she can't think
She's
of
like,
another way
I,
to phrase it.
I don't
it.
Know. She's like, I think the only thing one can say is
we need to talk. Period. Like, she's been thinking about this for months. They need to cast more writers on these shows.
I'm like, add a heart.
Add a heart.
Add a smiley.
Add an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Like, this is like the traditional female way of expressing non-threateningness in your communications is an exclamation point. I had a few ideas. I want to tell you something, exclamation point, heart. I miss you, ... Can we talk? I need to see you, XOXO.
Just like, these are good.
A little
these are
flirtatious.
Brilliant.
They're like, I really need to see you, but like in a good way.
And also they don't totally give it away.
No, they don't give it away.
What is not being said, of course, is that obviously she was told what to write.
She like
and
is,
production did not want her to give anything away that it might be like something positive.
Well, that's
or
what
benign.
Isn't said. She's very adamant. Like, production didn't write the note. Like, I just couldn't think of another thing to say.
I mean, production didn't write the note.
But yeah, she's like,
physically.
I don't know what else I could have written. I've really thought about it. And I wrote that note and I couldn't think of another thing to say. But obviously, if she were allowed to say literally anything, she surely could have said, it's fine, but I really need to tell you something. They didn't want her. I'm sure they didn't want her to tip the hand. So they were like, yeah, write it whatever you want as long as it doesn't give away that everything's fine. I also thought it was interesting how Kelsey talked about the like historic ending with her and Daisy, how Daisy came to talk to her before the finale proposal and dumping and how they rode in the limo together. And I guess, like, given the way that it's been talked about and the way it was played, I was expecting Kelsey to be like, oh, I really love that she did that. I was so happy. And she really didn't. She's much more, she sounds very conflicted about it, actually. Not in a way that, I mean, she seems like a pretty upbeat, positive person, and she wasn't like wrestling with anything deep in her soul, but more that she was just like, yeah, you know, I did sort of have some thoughts about, you know, basically whether it took her moment at the end and it changed that moment for her. But, you know, she's like, you know, ultimately Daisy had good intent. She's such a wonderful person. And that's what matters. And also, it did allow me to go into this proposal without feeling anxious, which was nice. And that's sort of where she lands. But
interesting,
she does seem clear that she had wrestled with it a little bit and was like, I don't know if this is how I anticipated this moment going.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Did she talk about that on Bachelor Happy Hour?
Yeah.
Because that okay, that's the one I did not listen to. I listened to her on the Vile Files and I was like, I don't remember this.
No,
okay.
Yeah. She talked about it on Bachelor Happy Hour. And it's, I mean, you have to listen to a lot of Joe being like, uh-huh. Yeah. Absolutely. But they got some good questions in there. You know, I was like, I don't think, why didn't they ask on Vile Files about that? But I don't remember them saying anything about it.
Yeah, I don't remember. I guess they got into some other things and they probably had a limited time because I think that I think they recorded it like right after.
It was a quicker segment. They definitely really had time to spread out with Bachelor Happy Hour. And I thought that was interesting. I was expecting her to have to take a different line on that. And I felt a little validated with my throwing out these like doubts about the conclusion. But yeah, ultimately she's like, you know, Daisy's so great and that was what she needed to do. And it was fine the way it worked out. It seems like she feels like she's on good terms with everyone. Like she's like all the drama. I just stayed out of it. I wasn't involved. And so I didn't get involved.
That's what it seems like. I mean, all of the content that has been coming out from all of the women since has been so cute. Like a lot of Daisy, Kelsey, and Rachel, very like unified, like reels and TikToks of all of them goofing around, having fun, even like watching the finale together from a bar. Like it just, with a lot of the other women from their season two, on the whole, it seems like the cast is just in a really good place with each other.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Although I did see that after the finale or after Women Tell All, Maria posted and then deleted a post that was sort of seemingly throwing shade at Medina, saying that like it didn't sit right with her to be called a pit bull and that, you know, it's nice to stay out of things, but maybe sometimes if you do get involved, you can smooth things over faster. And basically implying that Medina should have gotten more involved and she was annoyed at how she was talking about it. And then the story went away. So maybe there's more waves of like controversy brewing. We'll see. I also listened to Rachel's interview with Bachelor Happy Hour from the other week. Mm-hmm. And she also is like, I knew I was going home. Like, it really seems like the way that he made this final three work is he just very strongly signaled to the two women who are going home that it wasn't going to be them. Because Rachel was like, I knew this was the end for me. There was like a palpable sense on the date. The relationship was like coming to an end. It wasn't going to be me going through to next week. And she said she almost didn't go to the rose ceremony, but she felt like it would be taking away the moment of being chosen from Daisy and Kelsey. And so she felt like, she was like, I would have been so excited to have that moment. And so I didn't want to take that away from them. Which makes sense because you watch that date and you're like, how could you think that you're going to get picked? But like the sense that that there was an atmosphere of you're not getting picked on this date. And that she was just as aware of that as everyone else.
It seems, and I honestly, I felt like Maria kind of knew she was going home also.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. And it's like they're always trying to like, to not spend the whole date being like, well, obviously I'm going home. You know, you're trying to like push your way through with a smile and be like, here's what life could be with me. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say I love you. I'm going to do everything I need to do in case I'm wrong. But I,
right. It,
this seems but like I the end know. Of the line.
I yeah. have some intuition.
I'm catching a vibe that Joey has very yeah. much pulled away from me internally, even though he is physically still present. Like, he just like...
Also, Joey is such a warm person that I can see it being really notable when he
yeah.
pulls back at all. Like, I just...
Yeah. yeah. It's always hard to get dumped. I think that, like, sometimes it's, like, sort of a kindness to have a bit of a chill before the breakup so that you sense something is coming rather than being completely blindsided and being like, this morning you said, I've never loved you more, and you gave me a big hug, and then... At dinner, you're telling me it's over. Like, I'd rather feel the chill. Brace myself. Yeah.
No, I think I would too. Like, that the chill definitely yeah. sucks, but at least it gives you a little bit of a heads up.
And that's one of the fucked up things about The Bachelor is that you're not supposed to have a chill. It's supposed to be like, it could be you right up until the moment that no, your name is not called. And that does a number on you. Also, Rachel says she was basically never wearing any makeup on the show.
That makes sense to me because I couldn't tell if she was truly not wearing makeup or she was only wearing like the most minimal of yeah. natural looking makeup.
She says she was wearing a little makeup for rose ceremonies and that's basically it. And I was like, I'm
so jealous.
Aspire. I know. I need to wear makeup to go to the grocery store the way I'm
feeling
lately.
Is that what it's like to have such beautiful skin?
I know. It's really, she's so luminous. And we heard a little bit about Kelsey and Joey's plans now, which is to have a long engagement, like 3 years. You know, she's, what, 25? He's yeah. 28. They're like, we're basically starting our relationship now. There's no rush to get married. And they are, of course, moving to New York soon, which they decided to do because Kelsey had always wanted to live there. And it's pretty close to Joey's family in Philadelphia. And he basically...
They're like, going to fit in great.
Listening to him in these interviews is just so cute to me, though, as a...
He's obsessed with her.
He's obsessed with her. Like, he keeps being like, yeah, I've never really wanted to live in a city like that, but, like, she really wants to. And it's just, like, I just want her to be happy. It's
yeah,
be
I wanted to have that experience. And now that I think about it, I'm really excited to be in New York. We have so many friends there. It's going to be great.
Like, yeah, he's getting into it because he, like, initially he was like, I want this for Kelsey. And then he was like, and you know, it'll be a fun adventure for us to do together.
It's just really cute.
Yeah.
He's like, the way he talks about her, he's like, I mean, I think Kelsey should model.
I know.
Because she's like, the most beautiful person I've ever seen. But she really wants to maintain the career she's passionate about, which is construction management.
Yeah, I know. He's like, she should model, obviously. But if she's passionate about organizing construction projects to make sure that they're completed to the client satisfaction, then obviously I support that as well.
I support her. Yeah. Kelsey was like getting so animated talking about how excited she would be to work on like a renovation of a skyscraper in New York City. And yeah. I was like, this is adorable. Obsessed with you both.
See, I just love that. I feel like we don't get enough representation of different kinds of careers in the media and how
I know.
Exciting
they can
I loved
be.
It. I was like, yeah, tell everyone how great it is to manage a construction project. I love that.
Love them. Wish them all the best. And we'll obviously be, you know, intermittently tuning into the content.
Definitely.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk about some changes coming up with Jen's season of The Bachelorette. Can you keep up? I like
love it. Ever find yourself craving a getaway from the routine of daily life?
Indulge in a steamy fantasy world filled with hundreds of sexy stories on Dipsy, designed to turn you on whatever your fantasy is.
Dipsy is an app full of short, sexy audio stories designed by women for women.
They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters.
You can discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups.
And there's a growing library of fantasy series with vampires, Greek gods, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure.
Let Dipsy be your go-to place to spice up your me time, explore your fantasies, relax and unwind, or even heat things up with a partner. I really love that Dipsy offers this like women-centric place to consume these kind of stories in my favorite ways, like audio or reading. I also love reading the stories on Dipsy. It's just like a little treat just for me when I have a free moment to relax. And that's just like something we all deserve in our lives.
For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/LTSI.
That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/LTSI.
dipsystories.com/LTSI. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while or even not that long knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it's, I mean, it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
And we are back.
Let's talk about Jen's upcoming Bachelorette season. We've already had a bit of news about what we'll be seeing because, well, two reasons. One is that they are making some changes with this season, and one is that they always release all of the Bachelorette contestants in advance or potential contestants in advance in case anyone would like to step forward and say, I was personally harmed by this man. So we have some headshots and names, and we also have big news, which is that there's going to be a new Bachelor Mansion.
I'm shaken they by just, this like, news. I mean,
quietly, just a new one, just a new Bachelor Mansion.
Oh, a new one? Where did we get a chance to say goodbye to the old one?
I know. Where's
our two-hour
Monday night off-season special, a tribute to the Bachelor Mansion.
Can you imagine they just years do of like romance? A bunch of like zoomed in, like long wistful shots?
Yeah.
Of, like, the pool.
Bring out Trista and, you know, Trista and Ryan. Bring out Allie. Bring out all the random, you know, bring out Jason and Molly. all the random Bachelor stars of yore to tell their little anecdotes about the Bachelor Mansion.
Honestly, I do feel that most of the anecdotes about the mansion from what we've heard would be like, there was an infestation of something.
Yeah.
Or like, I fell off the bunk bed and harmed myself.
Yeah. It would not be a very positive tribute. That's,
but it's a historic place.
Right.
Okay. And it's, you know, you got to give that place its due. It has been an icon for all of us.
Yeah.
For so long.
What is it? Villa Divina? The Bachelor Mansion
is that the name
it's called? Yeah. And now they're moving to, you know, we're just used to this sort of like faux Tuscan, like ornate McMansion, basically.
I know. I mean, I know they had a different mansion during season one of The Bachelor,
And they've had some seasons where they moved to different places. I think Ben Flanick's season was in Sonoma.
And near his winery.
Yeah, Emily's season, of course, was in North Carolina. But
still, the Bachelor Mansion has been our steady.
It has.
And it's just, you know, farewell, sweet prince.
And they're going to be moving to the Hummingbird Nest Ranch in Santa Susana, California, at least for this season. And after night one.
You think they're going to like shop around?
I don't know. Like, I don't know if they need to like, I don't know if they need to make a commitment of like 20 years. Maybe they're like, we'll try it out here and see how it goes. Maybe they just were scrambling for a place because Villa de la Vina, you know, no longer was available. I don't know what happened. But this is where they're going to be this coming season. And then after night one.
Santa Susana. Okay, that is further inland. I see.
But they're not really going to be there. It's only for night one. The show is then immediately going to leave the country starting episode two.
And that is wild.
Yeah.
And very cool. Because as we have stated multiple times on this show, they tend to have a lower budget for bachelorette travel. So I love seeing them just like get right out of the mansion and go international immediately. That's going to be so much fun.
I agree. According to ET, they'll be traveling to Australia and New Zealand, among other destinations. Jen told ET in an interview that this is just one of many ways her season is breaking the mold. As we've discussed, of course, she's the first Asian American bachelorette. She's like, I'm also the first physician assistant student bachelorette. We're really breaking the mold this season. I don't know why I like snort laughed when I saw this.
Because it's just a specific thing.
I was like, yeah, no, I can't believe it. The first physician assistant student bachelorette. How could they?
Like, where is the representation for independent podcasters who were laid off from their corporate media jobs?
I agree. But no, sure, just do the first physician assistant student bachelorette. That's fine. That's important representation as well. I'm glad they're finally getting around to it after so long of like dentists and nurses and attorneys and Facebook executives.
Employees.
Executives might be a little generous. So we've also got contestant pool names and photos. 28 names, photos, and Instagrams of possible contestants were released.
Probably cut a small handful of these guys, as they always do. And we will save the like deep dive for when
we're
the official bios come out. But you can check out all of those photos. And exciting, Noah Erb's twin brother Aaron is going to be in this cast.
Yeah. Noah, of course, was on the Clatia season of Bachelorette. And then, of course, he met Abigail on Bachelor in Paradise. And they're now getting married. Beautiful bachelor love story. It's funny to see a picture of him. Would not have even clocked that they were related. Like, you can see them
side by side.
There's a similarity, but they are fraternal twins, I believe.
Yeah, they're definitely fraternal because I did realize they were related. I realized they were siblings. I didn't realize that they were twins.
Yeah.
Because they don't look like so much alike.
Yeah. But Aaron definitely looks very like cute, a much more like standard issue, like Western square jawed dude. Whereas Noah has a bit more of the like, I'm a free spirit. He's a spirit bit of like an, yeah, of yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. So excited to see him on the show. And
look, he probably was like, my brother found love.
Yeah.
Maybe this could work for me too.
And it certainly could. I'm excited to see which ones make the final cut. I assume they don't want to take like fully 25 men around the world. So maybe they're trying to have a smaller cast.
I mean, I'm on board with that. Yeah. It really worked for Golden. I feel like we got to know all of the women on that season so much better because yeah. they were fewer. So,
and Charities was only 25 men, I think. They like to do a sort of smaller pool for women sometimes. But yeah, we just have to wait until July for that. So buckle in, everyone.
In other news, the Askin ladies have had a falling out. They are now just the Skin ladies now.
Just Skin. Yeah.
Just Skin. Because April is unfortunately no longer on good terms with Susan, Kathy, and Nancy. This split allegedly occurred because April had to back out of a group trip with the other women and they were not happy about it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were some other tensions brewing that we are not privy to, but this apparently happened obviously after they filmed that episode for Joey's season.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
I know. It's a bummer. But I think it's important to humanize women of all ages to know yeah. that although we made a lot of jokes about how these women were too old for drama, no one's too
old. You're never too old for drama.
You might, it's like, you know, you mellow with age, but does your personality completely go away? No. You're still capable of having fights with your friends. I also found this sort of weird because I still don't understand why they would have a fight about it. She was like, I had to back out of this trip, but some of us have lives. And like, I did pay them for their part in it. And I'm like, so what? What's the problem? Like, they're just like, well, you paid us back, but we're mad that our friend isn't here, so we're not going to be friends anymore.
I just have to imagine there's more to
there
it.
There has to be more to it.
It just doesn't make sense.
It didn't add up for me, but sometimes with the money thing, it's a bit of a thing where people are mad about the money, and then you offer to pay them back for the money, and they're sort of mad that they don't have a reason to be mad anymore. That's the best I can do with that. I don't think I want a deeper dive. I want them to start going on podcasts like Bravo style and just like
making statements,
talking shit.
They're not getting that messy.
But who knows?
You know, I feel like Susan and Kathy are like, we have a podcast now.
Yeah. I think their first guest should be April and they should be like, why aren't you friends with
God,
us anymore?
Oh my God. Do like a group therapy session.
Yeah.
Live
they should
the
have like the Golden Bachelor Happy Hour, Golden Hour, Red Table Talk. They all come together.
I support it. I love this. We're just really rooting for healing for all.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with some more relationship and baby updates from across Bachelor Nation. Can you keep up? I like. I am so glad that it's finally warming up. And it also means that I just want to have fun this summer and I don't want to be worrying about meal prep. And luckily, I can do something about that with Factor, especially because they have so many meal options like protein plus, keto, vegetarian, something for every diet.
Their fresh, never frozen meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals.
With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week, you'll always have new flavors to explore.
Make your whole day delicious. From breakfast to dessert, stay fueled with easy, nutritious options.
I love having a few Factor meals just sitting in my fridge, especially because I work from home. It's so nice to finish up a taping and not have to figure out what to cook myself. Just look in my fridge and be like, oh, in 2 minutes, I can be eating mushroom chicken thighs and wild rice or tomato basil chicken risotto or Santa Fe style green chili beef skillet. And they always have a nice like vegetable side. It feels well balanced. I feel full after, and it's not a headache at all.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees.
Oh, I'm so happy the weather is finally turning. If you, like me, have been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune, then Quince is for you. You can build up a lineup of timeless pieces that will keep you looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings right on to you.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, as well as premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince for all these staples. I mean, linen is my favorite summer fabric. They have so many amazing linen staples. I also found my new go-to, like, summer running around to the playground in the coffee shop bag. It's the pebbled Italian leather. Ooh. Front sling bag. I can just fit a wallet and my phone and my AirPods in it, maybe some lip balm. Absolutely perfect. I'm so obsessed with it. And the price was exactly what I wanted to.
Get warm weather ready with Quince.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/LTSI.
And we're back.
I also wanted to discuss something that happened not that long after our last gossip episode, which is that Susie and Justin are dating.
I was like, wait, did we not discuss this? I guess we didn't, but yeah, like they are actually dating.
Yeah, because so we had, like, early in January a news and gossip episode where we were discussing, like, oh, what are Susie and Justin doing? Are they, like, baiting us with this idea that they might be a couple to drive engagement? And I, like, really went in on this. I will cop to that. And was like, it's all, like, it's an engagement play. And then, like, prompted by this podcast, I'm sure, they were like, it's time for us to come out publicly. So a couple of weeks later, they officially confirmed that they were romantically together and had been for a few months. And I just wanted to bring this up, even though it's old news, because I feel like we haven't had a chance to, like, discuss what this says about my whole couple baiting thing.
What do you think it does say? Because here's the thing. They did say that at the beginning, it was a bit more of a shtick. Like, I think when they were doing it with Andrew, especially, it was like,
yeah,
it was making a joke. But then, you know what? Actually, this just fits into another rom-com trope, which is like, you have the fake relationship.
Yes.
And once you're in the fake relationship, you realize you're actually in love.
Yes.
So I think it actually holds.
They produce their own fake relationship romance in front of our eyes.
Friends to lovers.
Friends to lovers. Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, I'm like, maybe that means that this isn't really a thing. Like, maybe none of this was a fake out. It was like just slow rolling the announcement of their relationship. But I think you're right. Like, it grew out of something that was like, we're making public facing content that's like, we're flirty with each other. Will they, won't they? And it was a joke until it wasn't a joke. And then they were like pretending it was a joke for longer than it actually was a joke. And then they came out as together. And that was
I love this for them.
I do.
They're
too
adorable.
It's cute. And I think that, like, what this says, I mean, I always knew this was a potential outcome, right, of what they were doing. Like, maybe they're going to announce they're actually together. It's still an engagement play, right? Like, it's still a social media strategy.
And I still am a fan of it. And you know what? If we can get more social media rom-coms, I'm okay with it. I think the rom-com is coming back, people.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't it come back in our influencer culture
as
well? I
think it's sort of fun to, you know, the way that Instagram influencing, especially for like couples, has traditionally worked has never really landed for me. I'm like, I'm just looking at pictures of you guys together looking
but
hot.
The lead up, that's intriguing. Well, that yeah, I genuinely want, actually want to see.
Right. They're like, how do we use Instagram for storytelling? Like in a real, like people are going to see the story of us unfolding on our social media in a way where they're like checking for updates. They want to know if we finally like are announcing we're together. Maybe we're just going to release a new like flirty video that hints at it. You know, they're creating narrative tension in a space that has been always more like a billboard. And like,
yes.
So, and what they're actually doing with that is they're making ads. Like their feeds are so dark. Much SponCon, right?
But so much SponCon.
But we're happy
but I love
to watch
the narrative
the
tension.
If there's narrative tension, right?
Wow. Yeah. Brands, listen up. I also find it sort of fascinating because I think there is a boost that couples get, you know, wedding content, baby content. And so it is sort of an interesting way that a person who is not engaging in those traditional milestones can still use the same levers of engagement.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you don't have like a prop to share, like a ring or a wedding dress or a baby, but you can still make a narrative impact with your relationship by doing what they're doing, which is teasing people like maybe we're together, maybe we're not. And then when they finally confirmed it, I've never seen a hard launch that had such a big impact.
Oh my God, people were thrilled.
Yeah.
Because it's the end of the rom-com.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the end of the rom-com, and then it can seamlessly just transition into like couple content.
Exactly. Yeah. And like maybe then people are more engaged in their couple content because they got to be part of watching it turn into couple content from friend content.
Exactly. Now I'm just deep on their Instagrams. And Susie is just a genuinely gifted storyteller also.
Yeah. And Justin's facial expressions, you know, she has a lot to work with.
They give a lot.
So they're kind of like a power couple in the content creation game. And, you know, his whole, because Greg and Victoria also are really good at making little skits for Instagram. So I feel like we've seen like so much storytelling content come out of that little cluster, which
it's true. Well, yeah, Justin, Andrew, and Greg, and also between the boys.
Yeah, that's true.
I will say there have been rumors that Victoria and Greg are no longer together.
I wouldn't be shocked. I haven't seen as much
rumor
of them lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. I have not seen.
As I said that, I was like, I don't remember the last time I saw them doing couple content, but
it's been a while. I think maybe around Valentine's Day.
A lot going on around
Valentine's
Day this year.
The last skit they did was December 15th.
Mm, yeah.
It looks like the last skit I can find. So
yeah.
Who knows? I will say that they have been lower key on the content in general. So it's hard to confirm either way. They have not publicly stated anything, but definitely, yeah. I think people have been on breakup watch.
Yeah. Yeah. But we do love the content. I love when a Bachelor star comes off and is like, I could just take pictures of myself looking hot, but instead I'm going to do sort of comedy skits and weird little public storylines about whether I'm involved with 1 to 3 opposite sex or same sex. You know, I'm open to that. 1 to 3 other members of Bachelor Nation, you know? I'm down for that. It adds a little spice to my week.
Yeah, I'm down for it too. It's definitely more interesting than just like the old school, here is my hair and here are the gummies that I take.
And I think we're going to see more of this, right? Maybe this is wishful thinking. I also noticed that moving into some other updates from the past couple months, Christina Mandrell and Braden Bowers had an elopement style photo shoot at a Nashville chapel that
they're not actually married.
Yeah, you see that you're like, oh my God, you guys got married. No, they did a styled shoot to promote this like chapel and various wedding vendors. And yeah, when it dropped, it looked like they got married. And it was just very clever social engagement strategy for everyone involved. Because it does seem like like what they would do also. It's so fitting with their couple brand.
That's interesting because I do, now that you say that, I do think that Christina and Brayden are like the other couple who is doing this.
Yeah.
That like content game the best.
Yeah. They have been turning their relationship into a story.
It's telling that you have Susie, who is a videographer, and Christina Mandrell, who I believe was also making social media content, video content quite regularly as an individual.
Yeah.
So both of them kind of, you know, brought a skill level.
Yeah, they're professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like this really raised both their profiles a lot. Like the fact that they have this ongoing speculation and interest in like the next steps of their relationship, and that they've been kind of courting that with how they have depicted it on social. And then to also like take the extra step of like integrating their SponCon with that speculation.
Next generation advertising is what we're seeing.
I mean, Susie and Justin and Christina and Brayden are all doing this so well, like integrating
their
spawn with the story they're telling about their relationship.
Should we run through some other little quicker updates?
Yeah, to close us out, let's do some quick updates. Ryan Fox, he of the suspiciously obvious How to Win the Bachelorette dossier found on night one of Michelle Young's season, is engaged. I still follow him on Instagram, so you're welcome.
I literally forgot this man existed, so I'm glad you follow him.
Every now and then, some dude just shows up, like, proposing to a blonde on my Instagram,
and I'm like,
who is that? To be fair, he is engaged to a brunette, so apologies, Ryan. Per his Instagram post, he and his fiance also have adopted a Bernie Doodle, so they're really starting a family. And, it seems like he was able to find love even without a dossier to follow. So, you know, justice for Ryan.
An exciting update about a couple that I had not fully memory hold, Chris Conran and Alana Milne, who were really villainized on Bachelor in Paradise season 7, kind of like kicked off the beach an angry mob of other cast
That's
members.
Right. They were like run out of town. I forgot.
They were
run
out of town because people were like, you only came to like date each other. Well,
it does kind of
they
seem
got
that
engaged
way because they got engaged.
They got engaged in Bali last week. Honestly, excited for them, happy for them. They have, you know, built a beautiful relationship despite being done not the best by the show.
Yeah.
And not really claimed, I think, as a success story from Paradise. But, like, they are unquestionably a success story from Paradise.
Well, they were being used as an example of, like, you think you can just come on Paradise and already know you're into each other and then claim you're a Paradise success story.
You will
and
be
reap
punished.
All the benefits. You'll be punished. Like, you should have just kept this off the beach. I mean, that all just seems like small potatoes in the course of a lifetime. Like, hopefully they'll be very happy together and no one will care ever again if they came on a show and already liked each other, maybe unconfirmed, alleged. Like, congrats to them. I hope they have a wonderful
congratulations.
Life.
Congratulations.
Ashley I and Jared Haban are expecting a second. That's her last name. I can't help myself. Ashley I and Jared Haban are expecting a second baby. They announced it on, of course, an Amazon Live. What else?
Avi. Where else would one make an important life announcement? I
always do it on Amazon Live.
I always do mine on Amazon Live.
I just love Amazon, you know?
And they have a registry on there?
Great
plates
there. You know, just exactly the plates I wanted. And it's so easy. Anyway, Ashley and Jared announced this with their son Dawson, who is, I think, 2 or a little bit.
Is he 2 yet?
Almost 2.
He's so cute. We did meet Dawson.
He is so once, cute.
And I was like actually unwell.
I know.
From how adorable he was.
So much beautiful hair. And Dawson like runs away. And Ashley is like, the only time he doesn't like a camera is when it's professional. I'm like, Ashley, he's a baby. He doesn't need to be professionally on camera. He's 2 years old. But I hope that he's ready to be a big brother. It's a big transition, but it can also be a beautiful one. Speaking of becoming a big sibling, Kayla Quinn and her husband, Nick Borello, are expecting a baby boy.
Oh my gosh, this is quick. Their daughter just turned one. They just celebrated her birthday. Yeah.
They're strong. I could not.
It sounds exhausting. But we're so happy for Nick and Kayla. Yeah.
Honestly, this makes me think that their daughter is what I like to call an easy baby because I
hope so for their sake.
I know. But I feel like you can kind of tell like the people who really struggled with the first one are like, we have an age gap
we need
of
a break.
3 to 5 years between our children. And then some people are like, oh yeah, let's toss another one in there. Why not? It'll be fun.
Oh my gosh. Well, their family is so cute.
Yes.
So excited, very excited, excited for them. Their daughter is just so adorable.
Amanda Stanton and her husband, Michael Fogel, recently welcomed a daughter, Rosie, in January. This is her third little girl and their first baby together.
Oh.
And, of course, Jesse Palmer had a daughter, Ella, with his wife, Emily, in January, shortly after the Golden Bachelor wedding. He did make it through the wedding. He was not called away. But in the weeks following, he had a daughter. And
mazel to them.
Mazel to them. And closing out the trio of daughters born this winter to Bachelor Nation alums, Nick Vile, who I almost forgot about, including here, because I think of him as just a podcaster now. Sorry, Nick. He had his first child, daughter, with his fiance, Natalie Joy. Their daughter's name is River Rose. Very cute. And
we share a middle name, a Rose. And
great middle name.
Pretty great middle name, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Which no one did. But I still feel that way.
I didn't ask, but I wanted to know. So thank you.
thank you
for volunteering. You read my mind. You were like, Claire's wondering what I'm thinking about this. I'm glad to know. And we're so happy for all of these little bachelor daughters coming out into the world this winter.
Oh my gosh. This very cute brood. And on that note, that is it for this episode of Love to See It with Emma and Claire.
Love to See It is produced by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray, and Stitcher. This episode was edited by Talon Stradley. Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv, and our art is by Celine Chang.
If you like our show, please remember to follow us, rate us 5 stars, and leave a review. And of course, spread the word about Love to See It to all of your friends. You know, maybe make a little couple-baiting rom-com on your Instagram. Mm. And make the spawn con us.
We deserve that level of effort. If you want to get in touch, you can email us at claireandemmapod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on TikTok at lovetoseeitpod and Instagram at claireandemmapod. And you can find our newsletter, Rich Text, on Substack at claireandemma.substack.com. I'm also on social media at Emma Lady Rose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon. We'll be back next week with all of the romance, TV, news, gossip, and just general info you could possibly desire. Can you keep up? I like
love it. Stitcher. Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave. Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm.
As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.